Some of us have hopes and dreams for what the year will bring. Some of us will hope to lose some weight. I haven't got anywhere on that so far. Some of us will hope to be have a better diet, which again, I failed at. So, but what can happen is that we can focus on more internal things rather than the external. That whatever might be happening to our weight, whatever we might be eating, whatever we might be doing with our finances, we all have the ability to change the way that we think. And so in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul encourages us to renew our minds, for us to be thinking a different way. Because when we think a different way, we behave a different way, we act a different way, and we can transform not only our own lives, but also the lives of others. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at certain issues and certain thought patterns that many of us have. We looked at materialism, how we see all of these adverts on TV and on public transport and everywhere else, giving us the empty promise that if we buy this product or this service, then somehow our lives are going to be better, they're going to be more joyful, more purposeful, more meaningful. Over time, we see how empty some of those promises are, and we think maybe value doesn't come in materialism. And we looked at some verses where Jesus encourages us not to put our hopes and our riches in things, but to put our hopes and riches in God himself. Then last week, we looked at image, that all of us try to portray an image to the world of ourselves. Sometimes it's to try and get a better reputation. Sometimes it's for fame. Sometimes it's for fortune. But ultimately, that can also be quite empty. I use the illustration that we have all been made to be projectors, that we want to project and image something. But rather than ourselves, which is so dissatisfying, God promises us and invites us to image him, to share his light with others, and to see transformation in the world. And this morning, I want us to spend a few minutes looking at busyness. I like to be busy. I like to try and keep myself busy all the time so that I don't end up thinking too much. Sometimes I believe that thinking is my worst enemy. I don't like quiet days. I don't like quiet evenings. Quite often, when Hannah gets home from work, she's exhausted from all of her GP appointments and everything, and she just wants to relax. But I'm really kind of chomping at the bit to go out. It doesn't really matter what it is, but I just don't want to be stuck at home thinking about stuff. I like to keep my mind occupied. And so often, when people say, "How are you?" I end up saying, "Well, I'm really busy at the moment." And then I always think, "Oh man, I really shouldn't have said that." Not because I'm not busy, but because I shouldn't be making a big deal of it. Yesterday afternoon, we were around a friend's house, and I got a text like at midnight last night saying, "Alex, are you all right? You seem really tired." And I thought, great. And I've had more comments about how tired I am this morning. I get a lot of comments about how tired I look all the time. My temptation to text back, I haven't texted back yet because I'm not quite sure what to put. But I know what I shouldn't be putting, which is, "Oh yeah, really busy at the moment." Because it's such an obvious thing for us to be saying. It's such an automatic response. So often, the obvious answer, the automatic answer that we give of "how are you," is to say, "I'm fine." Even if you're having the worst week of your life, there's something kind of stoic about us which makes us say, "Yeah, I'm fine, thanks." The second response would be, "Oh yeah, I'm fine, really busy at the moment." No matter what the week has been like, we can make much about being busy. So often we can feel this pressure to try and justify our time, to justify why we're here on earth, to justify our time and our schedule, to show that we have a value to our lives because we are busy. Maybe I do that more than most because you're all kind of like my employers. You're the ones who pay my stipend. And so if I start going around and then you start saying, "So Alex, how are you?" And I say, "I'm fine," which is obviously everyone has to say, "I'm fine." "Don't know how much you're on at the moment." What are you going to be thinking? I might get away with it once, but if it's a continual thing, then it's a real problem, isn't it? You probably want to hear me say, "Yeah, really busy at the moment." I feel under that pressure, like so many of us feel under that pressure, to try and justify ourselves by saying how busy we are. And so sometimes when life is really busy, when life really is very hectic, we can feel so puffed up and proud about all the things that we are doing, that we can get to the end of the day and think, "Man, I'm absolutely exhausted because I've done this, that, and the other. Aren't I wonderful for accomplishing so much, for being so productive? Haven't I made the most of my day?" Which probably isn't a healthy way to be thinking. Others of us might be having a really quiet time at the moment. And so the kind of reverse thought is, "Wow, I haven't done much with my day. What value have I brought to today? What meaning have I brought to today? Because I haven't been doing all that much." So often we talk about how much we're looking forward to the weekend. So often I see things like this on Facebook: "I hate Mondays." There's always so many comments about how awful Mondays are and how brilliant Fridays are, because there's so much talk about how difficult work is and how busy we are, kind of put in a negative context. So often we talk about holidays and how we're looking forward to a holiday. Some of our friends we were talking to yesterday, they were talking about how much they were looking forward to going on holiday. They're going to Paris and then they're going to Barcelona. And she's like, "Oh, wow, they're so excited about it." She's like, "Wow, so when are you going?" "August." They're secondary school teachers. There's so much talk about retirement, looking forward to retirement. And yet I know so many people who have retired and then gone back to work again because they like the busyness of their schedule. There can be that fear, can't there, of our lives becoming less busy over time. How will that make us feel? How will that affect our value to the world? Maybe there's that fear about your children growing older and leaving home. It's probably not a fear, but kind of looking forward to it for some people. Yeah, we don't need comments on that. But maybe there's that fear of not being quite so needed as you once were. Maybe there's that fear of retirement, that you won't be so busy, that you won't have so much purpose. Maybe you're getting a little bit older, a little bit less able in, or you're volunteering, and you're having to step back a little bit, or you're thinking about stepping back a little bit. How might that diminish the value that you put on your life? So if the world is saying that busyness is a good thing, busyness is something that we should be showing off about, we fall into two ditches. We fall into the ditch of being so busy that we work ourselves into the ground and that we're stressed and unhappy. Or we fall into the other ditch of feeling that we lack purpose and meaning and value because we don't have every single minute filled. We're going to be looking at what Jesus has to say about busyness. I think we have a Bible reader for this morning. Yes, fantastic. Thank you, Sue. So we're going to read just a few verses. We're just taking short passages this month, and we're looking at Luke chapter 10. If you want to follow along, then you can find it on page 1042. Thank you. Yeah, sure.
Good morning, everyone. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thank you very much. And so we have the story of two sisters, the older, more dominant sister, Martha, and the younger sister, Mary. They live together with Lazarus, if this is the right Mary and Martha that we're thinking about. And they invite Jesus over to dinner. Now, in a typical home in that part of the world at that time, there would normally be less rooms than the rooms in our own homes. But they would still have at least some bedrooms, but also a dining room and also a kitchen. The dining room, or the living room, would be the room where the men would gather together and would put the world to rights. The kitchen would be where the women would spend most of their time. And so... Internal thoughts. Okay. Right, where was I? Okay. Jesus knocks on the door. Mary and Martha answer the door and welcome him in. The custom is for him to go straight to the dining room, to the living room area, to go and get himself comfy and relax. Mary follows. Martha follows. But then Martha turns left and goes straight into the kitchen to start preparing some dinner for Jesus, and if there's some other people there. Mary should turn left. She should be going to the kitchen, as custom says. But she doesn't. She keeps on going forward, and she follows Jesus. Mary follows Jesus into the dining room, into the living room. Not only that, but Jesus gets himself seated and sorted, and Mary sits at his feet. Mary's doing some things which would have been very unheard of for that time and also for that place. Mary was going to the place where really only men should be hanging out. She sits at the feet of Jesus, which was also very unusual. Rabbis and teachers of the time would normally only have men sitting at their feet, learning from them. But Mary wants to have that submissive attitude. Mary wants to be in that place where she can learn, where she can, what the scriptures say, hear from the Lord, absorb the kind of revelatory new stuff that Jesus is sharing with the disciples. She wants to be at the feet of Jesus. Meanwhile, Martha is stuck in the kitchen. She starts to become frustrated because she's thinking, where on earth has Mary gone? Maybe she can hear Jesus and Mary in the next room, talking, laughing, having fun together. And yet she's stuck, peeling carrots and potatoes. Perhaps Martha could just stick her head around the door and say, actually, Mary, could you just come and help me for a minute? Or maybe she could go up to Mary and just have a quiet word in her ear. But no, she goes directly to Jesus and complains about her younger sister. I'm sure many of us, if you've got a sibling or siblings, can remember times. Oh yes, I don't even need to finish that sentence. Where there have been times where rather than trying to sort something out with your sibling, you go straight to your mum or dad and start complaining about what they have or what they haven't done. Martha hopes that Jesus will think, oh, you know what, this whole situation, this is completely wrong. Mary, get up and go and help your sister. But rather than Jesus challenging Mary, Jesus challenges Martha. Jesus tells Martha not to worry, not to be upset. Not to worry and be upset about all the chores that Martha has been left to do, but perhaps maybe just take a moment out, just a moment, to leave the kitchen, to break protocol like Mary has done, to come into the dining room, the living room, and join her sister at the feet of Jesus. Martha perhaps is trying to find some value, some purpose, some role, some place by staying in the kitchen. But perhaps she should leave that. Maybe she could try and find that value and that purpose and that place at the feet of Jesus instead. I don't think Jesus just came around to their home for a good meal, but rather his purpose and his intention was to bring Martha and Mary encouragement, to share something of himself, to share something of heaven with them, to share life, and I imagine to have some fun with them as well. Martha's busyness, her protocol, her normal way of doing things, the expected way of her behavior, kept her away from Jesus. And it made her worried, and it made her upset, and it made her stressed. When we're thinking about busyness, I'm not going to start trying to encourage you to be less busy. I was reading something this week which was saying that lots of younger people, kind of people in their early 20s, are choosing to join like a monastery, maybe just for a year, not a permanent commitment, but just for a year, just to get out of the busyness and the usual hectic rhythm of life, just to try and sit back and reflect. Most of us aren't in that kind of privileged position. God has given us responsibilities. He has given us work to do, and he wants to bless those things which we do. But whether we're busy at this current time or whether our schedules are a little bit on the lighter side, we shouldn't be trying to find that value and that purpose in doing all the time. It's a famous phrase, but I like it. We're human beings, not human doings. The good news is that Jesus has come to us. If you think about just how amazing it would have been to have had Jesus turn up to your front door, to knock on the front door, and for you to welcome him in. What amazing thing that would have been for both sisters. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has come to us. He has come to our world. He has come to our lives. He's come to our church. He comes to our homes. And it is up for us to invite him in. How are we going to welcome him? Are we going to join him where he is, wherever he decides to sit himself? Or are we going to busy ourselves in the kitchen? Are we going to busy ourselves not enjoying his company? We can do so much at church. With this, we do so many hours amongst us. There's so much going on. There's so much going on in our community as well. It's incredible what is happening in this local area and the amount of voluntary hours that are put in to serve the community, so much to serve God as well. The danger is that we can do so much, we can sometimes forget to invite Jesus in to what we're doing. We can be busy in the kitchen doing something which is very good, something in his name, something for his honor, something for his glory. And yet he's not actually in that room. He's in a different room. And we're missing out on what he has to say, on how he wants to direct our lives. When we spend time away from Jesus, even when we're doing things for Jesus, when we're not with him, we suddenly become tired and stressed and frustrated, just like how Martha was. Our energies drain because we're serving him by ourselves. We're not partnering with him in what he's doing. For those of us who enjoy our quiet times with the Lord, maybe first thing in the morning, you know what it's like when you miss a few quiet times. You know what it's like when you miss your daily Bible reading, when you're not spending time worshiping, when you're not spending time praying. I suddenly become so stressed. I get upset. I get frustrated with myself and also with others. How much better would it be if I take myself out of the kitchen sometimes, just for a moment, and join Jesus where he is, to learn from him and to be inspired by him? That way, we can take that inspiration and then we can go back into the kitchen and we can continue to serve him with our hands and with our feet, and we can do it in his strength. So my encouragement for us this week, just this week, let's take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be inspired, and then serve him in our lives. May we no longer seek our own value in being busy, but may we seek our value in being with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our Christian faith, our Christian walk, is not just about sitting down, but it's about getting up and it's about being active. Lord, we know that you could accomplish all the things that you want to do in the world by yourself, and yet you ask us to partner you, that you give us the opportunities to serve you, to create for you, to witness about you to others. Father, we have to appreciate that at times our schedules can be so busy, whether it be at work or at home or even in the church, that we leave you in the next room. Father, I pray that we would take some time this week. We'd create some time, we'd put some time in our schedules, that we'd even write your name in our diary if we need to, so that we might spend some time at your feet, that we would learn from you, that we'd be inspired by you, Lord, that we would have fun with you, so that when we have to get up and when we go back to the kitchen, we do it not so stressed and frustrated, but we do it with a joy and a gladness in our hearts. Please would you bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.